Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Act 2 of the Tragedy of King Richard II by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act 2, Scene 1, Ely House. Enter John of Gaunt, sick, with the Duke of York, etc.
Will the king come, that I may breathe my last in wholesome counsel to his unstayed youth?
Vex not yourself, nor strive not with your breath, for all in vain comes counsel to his ear.
Oh, but they say the tongues of dying men enforce attention like deep harmony. Where words are scarce, they are seldom spent in vain, for they breathe truth that breathe their words in pain. He that no more must say is listened more than they whom youth and ease have taught to gloss. More are men's ends marked than their lives before. The setting sun and music at the close, as the last taste of sweets is sweetest last, writ in remembrance more than things long past. Though Richard my life's counsel would not hear, my death's sad tale may yet undeaf his ear.
No. It is stopped with other fluttering sounds, as praises, of whose taste the wise are fond, lascivious meters to whose venom sound the open ear of youth doth always listen. Report of fashions in proud Italy, whose manner still our tardy apish nation limps after in base imitation, where doth the world thrust forth a vanity, so it be new. There's no respect how vile that is not quickly buzzed into his ears. Then all too late comes counsel to be heard, where will doth mutiny with wit's regard. Direct not him whose way himself will choose. 'Tis breath thou lack'st, and that breath wilt thou lose.
Oh, methinks I am a prophet new inspired, and thus expiring do foretell of him. His rash, fierce blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Small showers last long, but sudden storms are short. He tires betimes, that spurs too fast betimes. With eager feeding food doth choke the feeder. Light, vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming means soon preys upon itself. This royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of majesty, this seat of Mars, this other Eden, dear me, paradise, this fortress built by nature for herself against infection and the hand of war. This happy breed of men, this little world, this precious stone set in the silver sea, which serves it in the office of a wall, or as a moat defensive to a house, against the envy of less happier lands. This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England, this nurse, this teeming womb of royal kings, feared by their breed and famous by their birth, renowned for their deeds as far from home, for Christian service and true chivalry, as is the sepulchre in stubborn jury of the world's ransom, blessed Mary's son. This land of such dear souls, this dear, dear land, dear for her reputation through the world, is now leased out. I die pronouncing it, like to a tenement or pelting farm. Oh, England bound in with the triumphant sea, whose rocky shore beats back the envious siege of watery Neptune, is now bound in with shame, with inky blots and rotten parchment bonds. Oh, that England, that was wont to conquer others, hath made a shameful conquest of itself. Oh, would the scandal vanish with my life? How happy, then, were my ensuing death!
Enter King Richard and Queen, Aumerle, Bushy, Green, Begget, Ross, and Willoughby.
The king has come. Deal mildly with his youth, for young hot colts being raged do rage the more.
How fares our noble uncle, Lancaster?
What comfort, man! How is it with aged Gaunt?
Oh, how the name befits my composition! Old Gaunt, indeed, and gaunt in being old. Within my grief hath kept a tedious fast, and who abstains from meat that is not gaunt? For sleep in England long time have I watched, watching breeds leanness. Leanness is all gaunt. The pleasure that some fathers feed upon is my strict fast. I mean my children's looks, and therein fasting hast thou made me gaunt. Gaunt am I for the grave, gaunt as a grave, whose hollow womb inherits naught but bones.
Can sick men play so nicely with their names?
No, misery makes sport to mock itself. Since thou dost seek to kill my name in me, I mock my name, great king, to flatter thee.
Should dying men flatter with those that live?
No, men living flatter those that die.
Thou, now a dying, sayst thou flatterest me.
Oh, no, thou diest, though I the sicker be.
I am in health, I breathe, and I see thee ill.
Now he that made me knows I see thee ill. Ill in myself to see, and in thee seeing ill. Thy deathbed is no lesser than thy land, wherein thou liest in reputation sick. And thou, too careless patient as thou art, committest thy anointed body to the cure of those physicians that first wounded thee. 1,000 flatterers sit within thy crown, whose compass is no bigger than thy head. And yet, encaged in so small a verge, the waste is no whit lesser than thy land. Oh, had thy grandsire with a prophet's eye seen how his son's son should destroy his sons, from forth thy reach he would have laid thy shame, deposing thee before thou wert possessed, which art possessed now, to dispose thyself. Why, cousin, wert thou regent of the world, it were a shame to let this land by lease, but for thy world enjoying but this land, is it not more than shame to shame it so? Landlord of England, art thou now not king? Thy state of law is bond-slave to the law, and thou...
A lunatic, lean-witted fool, presuming on an ague's privilege, bearest with thy frozen admonition, make pale our cheek, chasing the royal blood with fury from his native residence. Now by my seat's right royal majesty, wert thou not brother to great Edward's son, this tongue that runs so roundly in thy head should run thy head from thy unreverent shoulders.
Oh, spare me not my brother Edward's son, for that I was his father Edward's son, that blood already like the pelican hast thou tapped out and drunkenly caroused, my brother Gloucester, plain well-meaning soul, whom fair befall in heaven mongst happy souls, may be a precedent and witness good, that thou respectest not spilling Edward's blood, join with the present sickness that I have, and thy unkindness be like crooked age to crop at once a too long withered flower. Live in thy shame, but die not shame with thee. These words hereafter thy tormentors be. Convey me to my bed, then to my grave. Love they to live, and love and honour have.
Exit, borne off by his attendants.
And let them die that age and silence have, for both hast thou, and both become the grave.
I do beseech your majesty, impute his words to wayward sickliness and age in him. He loves you on my life, and holds you dear as Harry, Duke of Hereford, were he here.
Right, you say true. As Hereford's love, so his, as theirs, so mine, and all be as it is.
Enter Northumberland.
My liege, old Gaunt, commends him to your majesty.
What says he?
Nay, nothing all is said. His tongue is now a stringless instrument. Words, life, and all, old Lancaster hath spent.
Be York the next that must be bankrupt so. Though death be poor, it ends a mortal woe.
The ripest fruit first falls, and so doth he. His time is spent, our pilgrimage must be. So much for that. Now for our Irish wars. We must supplant those rough, rug-headed kerns which live like venom where no venom else but only they have privilege to live, and for these great affairs do ask some charge. Towards our assistance we do seize to us the plate, coin, revenues, and movables whereof our uncle Gaunt did stand possessed.
How long shall I be patient? How long shall tender duty make me suffer wrong? Not Gloucester's death, nor Hereford's banishment, nor Gaunt's rebukes, nor England's private wrongs, nor the prevention of poor Bolingbroke about his marriage, nor my own disgrace, have ever made me sour my patient cheek, or bend one wrinkle on my sovereign's face. I am the last of noble Edward's sons, of whom thy father, Prince of Wales, was first. In war was never lion raged more fierce, in peace was never gentle lamb more mild, than was that young and princely gentleman. His face thou hast, for even so looked he, accomplished with the number of thy hours. But when he frowned, it was against the French, and not against his friends. His noble hand did win what he did spend, and spent not that which his triumphant father's hand had won. His hands were guilty of no kindred blood, but bloody with the enemies of his kin. Oh, Richard, York is too far gone with grief, or else he never would compare between.
Why, uncle, what's the matter?
Oh, my liege, pardon me, if you please. If not, I please it not to be pardoned, am content with all. seek you to seize and gripe into your hands the royalties and rights of banished Hereford? Is not Gaunt dead, and doth not Hereford live? Was not Gaunt just, and is not Harry true? Did not the one deserve to have an heir? Is not his heir a well-deserving son? Take Hereford's rights away, and take from time his charters and his customary rights. Let not tomorrow then ensue today. Be not thyself. For how art thou a king but by fair sequence and succession? Now, before God, God forbid I say true, if you do wrongfully seize Hereford's rights, call in the letters patents that he hath by his attorneys general to sue his livery and deny his offered homage. You pluck 1,000 dangers on your head. You lose 1,000 well-disposed hearts, and prick my tender patience to those thoughts which honour and allegiance cannot think.
Think what you will. We seize into our hands his plate, his goods, his money, and his lands.
I'll not be by the while. My liege, farewell. What will ensue thereof, there's none can tell. That by bad courses may be understood, that their events can never fall out good.
Exit.
Go, Bushy, to the Earl of Wiltshire straight. Bid him repair to us to Ely House to see this business. Tomorrow next we will for Ireland, and this time, I trow. And we create in absence of ourself our Uncle York, Lord Governor of England, for he is just and always loved us well. Come on, our Queen, tomorrow must we part. Be merry, for our time of stay is short.
Flourish. Exeunt King, Queen, O'Merle, Bushy, Green, and Begget.
Well, lords, the Duke of Lancaster is dead.
And living too, for now his son is Duke.
Barely entitled, not in revenue.
Richly in both, if justice had her right.
My heart is great, but it must break with silence. It be disburdened with a liberal tongue.
Nay, speak thy mind, and let him ne'er speak more that speaks thy words again to do thee harm.
Tends that thou wouldst speak to the Duke of Hereford. If it be so, out with it boldly, man. Quick is mine ear to hear of good towards him.
No good at all that I can do for him, unless you call it good to pity him, bereft and gelded of his patrimony.
Now, afore God, 'tis shame such wrongs are borne. In him a royal prince and many more, of noble blood in this declining land. The king is not himself, but basely led by flatterers, and what they will inform, merely in hate, gainst any of us all, that will the king severely prosecute, gainst us, our lives, our children, and our heirs.
The commons hath he pilled with grievous taxes, and quite lost their hearts. The nobles hath he fined for ancient quarrels, and quite lost their hearts.
And daily new exactions are devised, as blanks, benevolences, and I wot not what. But what a God's name doth become of this?
Wars hath not wasted it, for ward he hath not, but basely yielded upon compromise. That which his noble ancestors achieved with blows, more hath he spent in peace than they in wars.
The Earl of Wiltshire hath the realm in farm.
The king's grown bankrupt, like a broken man.
Reproach and dissolution hangeth over him.
He hath not money for these Irish wars, his burthens, taxations notwithstanding, but by the rubbing of the banished duke.
His noble kingsman, most degenerate king, but, lords, we hear this fearful tempest sing, yet seek no shelter to avoid the storm. We see the wind sit sore upon our sails, and yet we strike not, but securely perish.
We see the very wreck that we must suffer, and unavoided is the danger now, for suffering so the causes of our wreck.
Not so. Even through the hollow eyes of death I spy life peering, but I dare not say how near the tidings of our comfort is.
Nay, let us share thy thoughts, as thou dost ours.
Be confident to speak, Northumberland. We three are but thyself, and speaking so, thy words are but as thoughts, therefore be bold.
Then thus I have from Port le Blanc, a bay, in Brittany received intelligence that Harry, Duke of Hereford, Reynold, Lord Cobham, that late broke from the Duke of Exeter, his brother, Archbishop late of Canterbury, Sir Thomas Erpingham, Sir John Ramsden, Sir John Norbury, Sir Robert Waterton, and Francis Quoint, all these well furnished by the Duke of Breton. With 8 tall ships, 3,000 men of war, are making hither with all due expedience, and shortly mean to touch our northern shore. Perhaps they had ere this, but that they stay, the first departing of the king for Ireland, if then we shall shake off our slavish yoke, imp out our drooping country's broken wing, redeem from broken pawn the blemished crown, wipe off the dust that hides our sceptre's guilt, and make High Majesty look like itself. Away with me in post to Ravenspur, but if you faint, as fearing to do so, stay and be secret, and myself will go.
To horse, urge doubts to them that fear.
Hold out my horse, and I will first be there.
Exeunt. Scene 2, The Palace. Enter Queen, Bushy, and Begget.
Madam, your majesty is too much sad. You promised when you parted with the king to lay aside life-harming heaviness and entertain a cheerful disposition.
To please the king, I did. To please myself, I cannot do it. Yet I know no cause why I should welcome such a guest as grief, save bidding farewell to so sweet a guest as my sweet Richard. Yet again, methinks, some unborn sorrow, ripe in fortune's womb, is coming towards me, and my inward soul with nothing trembles. At something it grieves, more than with parting from my lord the king.
Each substance of a grief hath 20 shadows, which shows like grief itself, but is not so, for sorrow's eye, glazed with blinding tears, divides one thing entire to many objects, like perspectives, which rightly gazed upon show nothing but confusion, eyed awry, distinguished form. So your sweet majesty, looking awry upon your lord's departure, find shapes of grief more than himself to wail, which, looked on as it is not but shadows of what is not. Then, thrice gracious queen, more than your lord's departure, weep not. More's not seen, or if it be, 'tis with false sorrow's eye, which for things true weeps things imaginary.
It may be so, but yet my inward soul persuades me it is otherwise. However it be, I cannot but be sad, so heavy sad, as though on thinking on no thought I think, makes me with heavy nothing faint and shrink.
'Tis nothing but conceit, my gracious lady.
'Tis nothing less. Conceit is still derived from some forefather grief. Mine is not so, for nothing hath begot my something grief, or something hath the nothing that I grieve. 'Tis in reversion that I do possess. But what it is, that is not yet known. What I cannot name, 'tis nameless woe, I wot.
Enter Green.
God save your majesty, and well met, gentlemen. I hope the king is not yet shipped for Ireland.
Why opest thou so? 'Tis better hope he is, for his designs crave haste. Is haste good hope? Then wherefore dost thou hope he is not shipped?
That he, I hope, might have retired his power, and driven into despair an enemy's hope, who strongly hath set footing in this land. The banished Bolingbroke repeals himself, and with uplifted arms is safe arrived at Ravenspur.
Now God in heaven forbid!
Madam, 'tis too true. That is worse. The Lord of Northumberland, his son, young Henry Percy, the Lords of Ross, Beaumont, and Willoughby, with all their powerful friends, are fled to him.
Why have you not proclaimed Northumberland and all the rest revolted faction traitors?
We have. Whereupon the Earl of Worcester hath broke his staff, resigned his stewardship, and all the household servants fled with him to Bolingbroke.
So, Green, thou art the midwife to my woe, and Bolingbroke my sorrow's dismal heir. Now hath my soul brought forth her prodigy, and I, a gasping new-delivered mother, have woe to woe, sorrow to sorrow joined.
Despair not, madam.
Who shall hinder me? I will despair and be at enmity with cozening hope. He is a flatterer, a parasite, a keeper back of death who gently would dissolve the bands of life which false hope lingers in extremity.
Enter York.
Here comes the Duke of York.
With signs of war about his aged neck. Oh, full of careful business are his looks. Uncle, for God's sake, speak comfortable words.
Should I do so, I should belie my thoughts. Comfort's in heaven, and we are on the earth where nothing lives but crosses, cares, and grief. Your husband, he is gone to save far off, whilst others come to make him lose at home. Here am I left to underprop his land, who, weak with age, cannot support myself. Now comes the sick hour that his surfeit made. Now shall he try his friends that flattered him.
Enter a servant. My lord, your son was gone before I came.
He was. Why so? Go all which way it will. The nobles, they are fled. The commons, they are cold. And will, I fear, revolt on Hereford's side. Sirrah, get thee to Plashy, to my sister Gloucester. Bid her send me presently 1,000 pound. Hold, take my ring.
My lord, I had forgot to tell your lordship. Today, as I came by, I called there. But I shall grieve you to report the rest.
What is it, knave?
An hour before I came, the Duchess died.
God for his mercy. What a tide of woes comes rushing on this woeful land at once. I know not what to do. I would to God, so my untruth had not provoked him to it. The king had cut off my head with my brothers. But are there no posts dispatched for Ireland? How shall we do for money for these wars? Come, sister. Cousin, I would say. Pray, pardon me. Go, fellow, get thee home, provide some carts, and bring away the armour that is there.
Exit servant.
Gentlemen, will you go muster men? If I know how or which way to order these affairs, thus thrust you soldly into my hands, never believe me. Both are my kinsmen. The one is my sovereign, whom both my oath and duty bids defend. The other again is my kinsman, whom the king hath wronged, whom conscience and my kindred bids to right. Well, somewhat we must do. Come, cousin, I'll dispose of you. Gentlemen, go, muster up your men, and meet me presently at Berkeley. I should to Plashy too, for time will not permit. All is uneven, and everything is left at 6 and 7.
Exeunt York and Queen. The wind sets fair for news to go to Ireland, but none returns. For us to levy power proportionable to the enemy is all unpossible.
Besides, our nearness to the king in love is near the hate of those love not the king.
And that's the wavering commons, for their love lies in their purses. And whoso empties them, by so much fills their hearts with deadly hate.
Wherein the king stands generally condemned.
If judgment lie in them, then so do we, because we ever have been near the king.
Well, I will for refuge straight to Bristol Castle. The Earl of Wiltshire is already there.
Thither will I with you, for little office the hateful commons will perform for us, except like curs to tear us all to pieces. Will you go along with us?
No, I will to Ireland, to his majesty. Farewell, if heart's presages be not vain. We three here part that ne'er shall meet again.
That's as York thrives to beat back Bolingbroke.
Alas, poor Duke, the task he undertakes is numbering sands and drinking oceans dry. Where one on his side fights, thousands will fly. Farewell at once, for once, for all and ever.
Well, we may meet again.
I fear me never.
Exeunt. Scene 3.
Wilds in Gloucestershire. Enter Bolingbroke and Northumberland with forces.
How far is it, my lord, to Berkeley now?
Believe me, noble lord, I am a stranger here in Gloucestershire. These high, wild hills and rough, uneven ways draws out our miles and makes them wearisome. And yet your fair discourse hath been as sugar, making the hard way sweet and delectable. But I bethink me what a weary way from Ravenspur to Cotswold will be found in Ross and Willoughby, wanting your company, which I protest hath very much beguiled the tediousness and process of my travel. But theirs is sweetened with the hope to have the present benefit which I possess, and hope to joy is little less in joy than hope enjoyed. By this the weary lords shall make their way seem short as mine hath done, by sight of what I have, your noble company.
Of much less value is my company than your good words. But who comes here?
Enter Henry Percy.
It is my son, young Harry Percy, sent from my brother Worcester, whencesoever. Harry, how fares your uncle?
I had thought, my lord, to have learned his health of you.
Why, is he not with the queen?
No, my good lord. He hath forsook the court, broken his staff of office, and dispersed the household of the king.
What was his reason? He was not so resolved when last we spake together.
Because your lordship was proclaimed traitor. But he, my lord, is gone to Ravenspur, to offer service to the Duke of Hereford, and sent me over by Berkeley to discover what power the Duke of York had levied there, then with directions to repair to Ravenspur.
Have you forgot the Duke of Hereford, boy?
No, my good lord, for that is not forgot which ne'er I did remember. To my knowledge, I never in my life did look on him.
Then learn to know him now. This is the Duke.
My gracious lord, I tender you my service, such as it is, being tender, raw, and young, which elder days shall ripen and confirm to more approved service and desert.
I thank thee, gentle Percy, and be sure I count myself in nothing else so happy as in a soul remembering my good friends, and as my fortune ripens with thy love, it shall be still thy true love's recompense. My heart this covenant makes, my hand thus seals it.
How far is it to Berkeley? And what stir keeps good old York there with his men of war?
There stands the castle by yon tuft of trees, manned with 300 men, as I have heard, and in it are the lords of York, Berkeley, and Seymour, none else of name and noble estimate.
Enter Ross and Willoughby.
Here comes the lords of Ross and Willoughby, bloody with spurring, fiery red with haste.
Welcome, my lords. I wot your love pursues a banished traitor. All my treasury is yet but unfelt thanks, which more enriched shall be your love and labour's recompense.
Your presence makes us rich, most noble lord.
And far surmounts our labour to attain it.
Evermore thanks the exchequer of the poor, which till my infant fortune comes to years, stands for my bounty. But who comes here? Enter Berkeley.
It is my lord of Berkeley, as I guess.
My lord of Hereford, my message is to you.
My lord, my answer is to Lancaster, and I am come to seek that name in England, and I must find that title in your tongue before I make reply to aught you say.
Mistake me not, my lord. 'Tis not my meaning to raise one title of your honour out. To you, my lord, I come, what lord you will, from the most gracious regent of this land, the Duke of York, to know what pricks you on, to take advantage of the absent time, and fright our native peace with self-born arms.
Enter York, attended. I shall not need transport my words by you. Here comes his grace in person. Kneels. My noble uncle.
Show me thy humble heart, and not thy knee, whose duty is deceivable and false.
My gracious uncle.
Tut, tut. Grace me no grace, nor uncle me no uncle. I am no traitor's uncle. That word grace in an ungracious mouth is but profane.
Why have those banished and forbidden legs dared once to touch a dust of England's ground? But then more, why? Why have they dared to march so many miles upon her peaceful bosom, frighting her pale-faced villages with war and ostentation of despised arms? Comest thou because the anointed king is hence? Why, foolish boy, the king is left behind, and in my loyal bosom lies his power. Were I but now the lord of such hot youth as when brave Gaunt, thy father, and myself rescue the Black Prince, that young Mars of men, from forth the ranks of many thousand French, oh, then how quickly should this arm of mine, now prisoner to thy palsy, chastise thee and minister correction to thy fault.
My gracious uncle, let me know my fault. On what condition stands it, and wherein?
Even in condition of the worst degree, in gross rebellion and detested treason. Thou art a banished man, and here art come before the expiration of thy time in braving arms against thy sovereign.
As I was banished Hereford. But as I come for Lancaster. And, noble uncle, I beseech your grace, look on my wrongs with an indifferent eye. You are my father, for methinks in you I see old Gaunt alive. Oh, then, my father, will you permit that I shall stand condemned, a wandering vagabond, my rights and royalties plucked from my arms perforce and given away to upstart unthrifts? Wherefore was I born? If that my cousin king be king of England, it must be granted I am Duke of Lancaster. You have a son, or Merle, my noble cousin. Had you first died, and he been thus trod down, he should have found his uncle Gaunt a father to rouse his wrongs and chase them to the bay. I am denied to sue my livery here, and yet my letters patents give me leave. My father's goods are all distrained and sold, and these and all are all amiss employed. What would you have me do? I am a subject, and I challenge law. Attorneys are denied me, and therefore, personally, I lay my claim to my inheritance of free descent.
The noble duke hath been too much abused.
It stands your grace upon to do him right.
Base men by his endowments are made great.
My lords of England, let me tell you this. I have had feeling of my cousin's wrongs, and laboured all I could to do him right. But in this kind to come, in braving arms, be his own carver and cut out his way, to find out right with wrong, it may not be. And you that do abet him in this kind, cherish rebellion and awe rebels all.
The noble duke hath sworn his coming is but for his own, and for the right of that we all have strongly sworn to give him aid. And let him ne'er see joy that breaks that oath.
Well, well, I see the issue of these arms. I cannot mend it, I must needs confess, because my power is weak and all ill left. But if I could, by him that gave me life, I would attach you all, and make you stoop unto the sovereign mercy of the king. But since I cannot, be it known to you, I do remain as neuter. So fare you well, unless you please to enter in the castle, and there repose you for this night.
An offer, uncle, that we will accept. But we must win your grace to go with us to Bristol Castle, which they say is held by Bushy Bagot and their accomplices, the caterpillars of the Commonwealth, which I have sworn to weed and pluck away.
It may be I will go with you, but yet I'll pause, for I am loath to break our country's laws. Nor friends nor foes to me welcome you are. Things past redress are now with me past care.
Exeunt. Scene 4. A Camp in Wales. Enter Salisbury and a Welsh Captain.
My Lord of Salisbury, we have stayed 10 days, and hardly kept our countrymen together, and yet we hear no tidings from the king. Therefore we will disperse ourselves. Farewell.
Stay yet another day, thou trusty Welshman. The king reposeth all his confidence in thee.
'Tis thought the king is dead. We will not stay. The bay trees in our country are all withered, and meteors fright the fixed stars of heaven. The pale-faced moon looks bloody on the earth, and lean-looked prophets whisper fearful change. Rich men look sad, and ruffians dance and leap, the one in fear to lose what they enjoy, the other to enjoy by rage and war. These signs forerun the death or fall of kings. Farewell, our countrymen are gone and fled, as well assured Richard their king is dead.
Exit. Ah, Richard, with the eyes of heavy mind I see thy glory like a shooting star fall to the base earth from the firmament. Thy sun sets weeping in the lowly west, witnessing storms to come, woe and unrest. Thy friends are fled to wait upon thy foes, and crossly to thy good all fortune goes. Exit. End of Act Two. Act Three of the Tragedy of King Richard II by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act 3, Scene 1. Bristol, before the castle. Enter Bolingbroke, York, Northumberland, Ross, Piercy, Willoughby, with Bushy and Green prisoners. Bring forth these men. Bushy and Green, I will not vex your souls, since presently your souls must part your bodies, with too much urging your pernicious lives, for 'twere no charity. Yet to wash your blood from off my hands here in the view of men, I will unfold some causes of your deaths. You have misled a prince, a royal king, a happy gentleman in blood and lineaments, by you unhappied and disfigured clean. You have in manner, with your sinful hours, made a divorce betwixt his queen and him, broke the possession of a royal bed, and stained the beauty of a fair queen's cheeks with tears drawn from her eyes by your foul wrongs. Myself, a prince by fortune of my birth, near to the king in blood, and near in love till you did make him misinterpret me, have stooped my neck under your injuries, and sighed my English breath in foreign clouds, eating the bitter bread of banishment, whilst you have fed upon my signories, disparked my parks, and felled my forest woods from mine own windows, torn my household coat, raised out my impress, leaving me no sign, save men's opinions and my living blood, to show the world I am a gentleman. This, and much more than twice all this, condemns you to the death. See them delivered over to execution and the hand of death. More welcome is the stroke of death to me than Bolingbroke to England. Lords, farewell.
My comfort is that heaven will take our souls and plague injustice with the pains of hell.
My lord Northumberland, see them dispatched. Exeunt Northumberland and others with the prisoners. Uncle, you say the queen is at your house. For God's sake, fairly let her be entreated. Tell her I send to her my kind commends. Take special care my greetings be delivered.
A gentleman of mine I have dispatched with letters of your love to her at large.
Thanks, gentle uncle. Come, lords, away, to fight with Glendower and his accomplices. Away to work, and after holiday. Exeunt. Scene 2. The coast of Wales, a castle in view. Drums, flourish and colours. Enter King Richard, the Bishop of Carlisle, Aumerle, and soldiers.
Barclough Castle call they this at hand?
Yea, my lord. How brooks your grace the air, after your late tossing on the breaking seas?
Needs must I like it well. I weep for joy to stand upon my kingdom once again. Dear earth, I do salute thee with my hand, though rebels wound thee with their horses' hoofs. As a long-parted mother with her child plays fondly with her tears and smiles in meeting, so weeping, smiling, greet I thee, my earth, and do thee favours with my royal hands. Feed not thy sovereign's foe, my gentle earth, nor with thy sweets comfort his ravenous sense. But let thy spiders that suck up thy venom and heavy-gated toads lie in their way, doing annoyance to the treacherous feet which with usurping steps do trample thee. Yield stinging nettles to mine enemies, and when they from thy bosom pluck a flower, guard it, I pray thee, with a lurking adder, whose double tongue may with a mortal touch throw death upon thy sovereign's enemies. Mock not my senseless conjuration, lords. This earth shall have a feeling, and these stones prove armed soldiers ere her native king shall falter under foul rebellion's arms.
Fear not, my lord. That power that made ye king hath power to keep ye king in spite of all. The means that heaven yields must be embraced and not neglected, else, if heaven would, and we will not, heaven's offer we refuse, the proffered means of succour and redress.
He means, my lord, that we are too remiss, whilst Bolingbroke, through our security, grows strong and great in substance and in power.
Discomfortable cousin, knowest thou not that when the searching eye of heaven is hid behind the globe that lights the lower world, then thieves and robbers range abroad unseen in murders and in outrage, boldly here? But when from under this terrestrial ball he fires the proud tops of the eastern pines and darts his lights through every guilty hole, then murders, treasons, and detested sins, the cloak of night being plucked from off their backs, stand bare and naked, trembling at themselves. So when this thief, this traitor, Bolingbroke, who all this while hath revelled in the night, whilst we were wandering with the Antipodes, shall see us rising in our throne, the East, his treasons will sit blushing in his face, not able to endure the sight of day, but self-affrighted tremble at his sin. Not all the water in the rough, rude sea can wash the balm off from an anointed king. The breath of worldly men cannot depose the deputy elected by the Lord. For every man that Bolingbroke hath pressed to lift shrewd steel against our golden crown, God, for his Richard, hath in heavenly pay a glorious angel. Then, if angels fight, weak men must fall, for heaven still guards the right.
Enter Salisbury.
Welcome, my lord. How far off lies your power?
Nor near nor farther off, my gracious lord, than this weak arm. Discomfort guides my tongue and bids me speak of nothing but despair. One day, too late, I fear me, noble lord, hath clouded all thy happy days on earth. Oh, call back yesterday! Bid time return, and thou shalt have 12,000 fighting men. Today, unhappy day, too late, all throws thy joys, friends, fortune, and thy state. For all the Welshmen, hearing thou wert dead, are gone to Bolingbroke, dispersed and fled.
Comfort, my liege. Why looks your grace so pale?
But now the blood of 20,000 men did triumph in my face, and they are fled. Until so much blood thither come again, have I not reason to look pale and dead? All souls that will be safe fly from my side, for time has set a blot upon my pride.
Comfort, my liege. Remember who you are.
I had forgot myself. Am I not king? Awake, thou coward majesty! Thou sleepest. Is not the king's name 20,000 names? Arm, arm, my name. A puny subject strikes at thy great glory. Look not to the ground, ye favourites of a king. Are we not high? High be our thoughts. I know my uncle York hath power enough to serve our turn. But who comes here?
Enter Scroop.
More health and happiness betide my liege than can my care-tuned tongue deliver him.
Mine ear is open and my heart prepared. The worst is worldly loss thou canst unfold. Say, is my kingdom lost? Why, 'twas my care. And what loss is it to be rid of care? Strives Bolingbroke to be as great as we? Greater he shall not be. If he serve God, we'll serve him too, and be his fellows so. Revolt our subjects? That we cannot mend. They break their faith to God as well as us. Cry woe, destruction, ruin, and decay. The worst is death, and death will have his day.
Glad am I that your highness is so armed to bear the tidings of calamity, like an unseasonable stormy day, which makes the silver rivers drown their shores as if the world were all dissolved to tears. So high above his limits swells the rage of Bolingbroke, covering your fearful land with hard, bright steel and hearts harder than steel. White beards have armed their thin and hairless scalps. Against thy majesty, boys with women's voices strive to speak big and clap their female joints in stiff, unwieldy arms against thy crown. Thy very beadsmen learn to bend their bows of double fatal yew against thy state. Yea, distaff women manage rusty bills against thy seat. Both young and old rebel, and all goes worse than I have power to tell.
Too well thou tell'st the tale so ill. Where is the Earl of Wiltshire? Where is Bagot? What is become of Bushy? Where is Green? That they have left a dangerous enemy measure our confines with such peaceful steps. If we prevail, their heads shall pay for it. I warrant they have made peace with Bolingbroke.
Peace have they made with him indeed, my lord.
Oh, villains, vipers, damned without redemption, dogs, easily wont to fawn on any man, snakes in my heart blood warmed that sting my heart. Three Judases, each one thrice worse than Judas. Would they make peace? Terrible hell make war upon their spotted souls for this offence.
Sweet love I see, changing his property, turns to the sourest and most deadly hate. Again uncurse their souls, their peace is made, with heads and not with hands. Those whom you curse have felt the worst of death's destroying wound, and lie full low, graved in the hollow ground.
Is Bushy Green and the Earl of Wiltshire dead?
Aye, all of them at Bristol lost their heads.
Where is the Duke my father with his power?
No matter where, of comfort no man speak. Let's talk of graves, of worms and epitaphs. Make dust our paper, and with rainy eyes write sorrow on the bosom of the earth. Let's choose executors and talk of wills, and yet not so. For what can we bequeath save our deposed bodies to the ground? Our lands, our lives, and all are Bolingbroke's, and nothing can we call our own but death, and that small model of the barren earth which serves as paste and cover to our bones. For God's sake, let us sit upon the ground and tell sad stories of the death of kings, how some have been deposed, some slain in war, some haunted by the ghosts they have deposed, some poisoned by their wives, some sleeping killed, all murdered. For within the hollow crown that rounds the mortal temples of a king keeps death his court, and there the antique sits, scoffing his state and grinning at his pomp, allowing him a breath, a little scene, to monarchize, be feared and kill with looks, infusing him with self and vain conceit. As if this flesh, which walls about our life, were brass impregnable, and humoured thus comes at the last, and with a little pin bores through his castle wall, and farewell, king. Cover your heads and mock not flesh and blood with solemn reverence. Throw away respect, tradition, form, and ceremonious duty, for you have but mistook me all this while. I live with bread like you, feel want, taste grief, need friends. Subjected thus, how can you say to me, I am a king?
My lord, wise men they sit and wail their woes, but presently prevent the ways to wail, to fear the foe, since fear oppresseth strength, gives in your weakness strength unto your foe, and so your follies fight against yourself. Fear and be slain. No worse can come to fight, and fight and die is death destroying death, where fearing dying pays death servile breath.
My father hath a power. Inquire of him, and learn to make a body of a limb.
Thou chidest me well. Proud Bolingbroke, I come to change blows with thee for our day of doom. This ague fit of fear is overblown. An easy task it is to win our own. Say, Scroope, where lies our uncle with his power? Speak sweetly, man, although thy looks be sour.
Men judge by the complexion of the sky, the state and inclination of the day, so may you by my dull and heavy eye. My tongue hath but a heavier tale to say. I play the torturer by small and small to lengthen out the worst that must be spoken. Your uncle York is joined with Bolingbroke, and all your northern castles yielded up, and all your southern gentlemen in arms upon his party.
Thou hast said enough.
To our Merle.
Beshrew thee, cousin, which didst lead me forth of that sweet way I was in to despair. What say you now? What comfort have we now? By heaven, I'll hate him everlastingly that bids me be of comfort any more. Go to Flint Castle. There I'll pine away. A king, woe's slave, shall kingly woe obey. That power I have, discharge, and let them go to ear the land that hath some hope to grow, for I have none. Let no man speak again to alter this, for counsel is but vain.
My liege, one word.
He does me double wrong that wounds me with the flatteries of his tongue. Discharge my followers, let them hence away, from Richard's night to Bolingbroke's fair day.
Exeunt. Scene 3. Wales, before Flint Castle. Enter, with drum and colours, Bolingbroke, York, Northumberland, attendants and forces. So that by this intelligence we learn the Welshmen are dispersed, and Salisbury is gone to meet the king, who lately landed with some few private friends upon this coast.
The news is very fair and good, my lord. Richard, not far from hence, hath hid his head.
It would beseem the Lord Northumberland to say King Richard. Alack, the heavy day when such a sacred king should hide his head.
Your grace mistakes. Only to be brief left I his title out.
The time hath been. Would you have been so brief with him? He would have been so brief with you, to shorten you, for taking so the head, your whole head's length.
Mistake not, uncle, further than you should.
Take not, good cousin, further than you should, lest you mistake the heavens are o'er our heads.
I know it, uncle, and oppose not myself against their will. But who comes here? Enter Percy. Welcome, Harry. What, will not this castle yield?
The castle royally is manned, my lord, against thy entrance.
Royally? Why, it contains no king.
Yes, my good lord, it doth contain a king. King Richard lies within the limits of yon lime and stone, and with him are the Lord Armero, Lord Salisbury, Sir Stephen Scroope, besides a clergyman of holy reverence, who I cannot learn.
Oh, belike it is the Bishop of Carlisle.
Noble lords, go to the rude ribs of that ancient castle, through brazen trumpets send the breath of parley into his ruined ears, and thus deliver, Henry Bolingbroke, on both his knees doth kiss King Richard's hand, and sends allegiance and true faith of heart to his most royal person, hither come, even at his feet, to lay my arms and power, provided that my banishment repealed, and lands restored again be freely granted. If not, I'll use the advantage of my power, and lay the summer's dust with showers of blood rain from the wounds of slaughtered Englishmen, the which, how far off from the mind of Bolingbroke it is, such crimson tempest should bedrench the fresh green lap of fair King Richard's land, my stooping duty tenderly shall show. Go signify as much, while here we march upon the grassy carpet of this plain. Let's march without the noise of threatening drum, that from this castle's tattered banishments our fair appointments may be well perused. Methinks King Richard and myself should meet with no less terror than the elements of fire and water, when their thundering shock at meeting tears the cloudy cheeks of heaven. Be he the fire, I'll be the yielding water. The rage be his, whilst on the earth I rain my waters. On the earth, and not on him. March on, and mark King Richard how he looks. Parle without, and answer within. Then a flourish. Enter on the walls King Richard, the Bishop of Carlisle, Aumerle, Scroope, and Salisbury. See, see, King Richard doth himself appear, as doth the blushing, discontented sun from out the fiery portal of the east, when he perceives the envious clouds are bent to dim his glory, and to stain the track of his bright passage to the Occident.
Yet looks he like a king. Behold his eye, as bright as is the eagle's, lightens forth controlling majesty. Alack, alack for woe, that any harm should stain so fair a show.
King Richard to Northumberland.
We are amazed, and thus long have we stood to watch the fearful bending of thy knee, because we thought ourself thy lawful king. And if we be, how dare thy joints forget to pay their awful duty to our presence? If we be not, show us the hand of God that hath dismissed us from our stewardship. For well we know, no hand of blood and bone can gripe the sacred handle of our sceptre, unless he do profane, steal, or usurp. And though you think that all, as you have done, have torn their souls by turning them from us, and we are barren and bereft of friends, yet know, my master, God omnipotent, is mustering in his clouds on our behalf armies of pestilence, and they shall strike your children yet unborn and unbegot, that lift your vassal hands against my head, and threat the glory of my precious crown. Tell Bolingbroke, for yon to me thinks he stands, that every stride he makes upon my land is dangerous treason. He is come to open the purple testament of bleeding war. But ere the crown he looks for live in peace, 10,000 bloody crowns of mother's sons shall ill become the flower of England's face, change the complexion of her maid pale peace to scarlet indignation, and bedew her pasture's grass with faithful English blood.
The King of Heaven forbid our lord the king should so with civil and uncivil arms be rushed upon thy thrice noble cousin, Harry Bolingbroke, doth humbly kiss thy hand, and by the honourable tomb he swears that stands upon your royal grandsire's bones, and by the royalties of both your bloods, currents that spring from one most gracious head, and by the buried hand of warlike Gaunt, and by the worth and honour of himself, comprising all that may be sworn or said. His coming hither hath no further scope than for his lineal royalties, and to beg enfranchisement immediate on his knees, which on thy royal party granted once, his glittering arms he will commend to rust, his barbed steeds to stables, and his heart to faithful service of your majesty. This swears he, as he is a prince, is just, and, as I am a gentleman, I credit him.
Northumberland, say thus the king returns. His noble cousin is right welcome hither, and all the number of his fair demands shall be accomplished without contradiction. With all the gracious utterance thou hast, speak to his gentle hearing kind commends.
To Aumerle.
We do debase ourselves, cousin, do we not, to look so poorly and to speak so fair? Shall we call back Northumberland, and send defiance to the traitor, and so die?
No, good my lord. Let's fight with gentle words till time lend friends, and friends their helpful swords.
O God, that ever this tongue of mine that laid the sentence of dread banishment on yon proud man should take it off again with words of sooth. Oh, that I were as great as is my grief, or lesser than my name, or that I could forget what I have been, or not remember what I must be now. Swell'st thou, proud heart? I'll give thee scope to beat, since foes have scope to beat both thee and me.
Northumberland comes back from Bolingbroke.
What must the king do now? Must he submit? The king shall do it. Must he be deposed? The king shall be contented. Must he lose the name of king? A god's name, let it go. I'll give my jewels for a set of beads, my gorgeous palace for a hermitage, my gay apparel for an almsman's gown, my figured goblets for a dish of wood, my sceptre for a palmer's walking staff, my subjects for a pair of carved saints, and my large kingdom for a little grave, a little grave, an obscure grave, or I'll be buried in the king's highway, some way of common trade, where subjects' feet may hourly trample on their sovereign's head. For on my heart they tread now whilst I live, and buried once, why not upon my head? O Merle, thou weep'st, my tender-hearted cousin. We'll make foul weather with despised tears. Our sighs, and they shall lodge the summer corn, and make a dearth in this revolting land. Or shall we play the wantons with our woes, and make some pretty match with shedding tears, and thus to drop them still upon one place, till they have fretted us a pair of graves within the earth, and therein laid, there lies two kinsmen dig their graves with weeping eyes. Would not this ill do well? Well, I see I talk but idly, and you laugh at me. Most mighty prince, my lord Northumberland, what says King Bolingbroke? Will his majesty give Richard leave to live till Richard die? You make a leg, and Bolingbroke says I.
My lord, in the base court he doth attend to speak with you. May it please you to come down.
Down I come, like glistering phaeton, wanting the manage of unruly jades. In the base court where kings grow base to come at traitors' calls and do them grace. In the base court, come down, down court, down king, for night owls shriek where mounting larks should sing.
Exeunt from above. What says his majesty?
Sorrow and grief of heart makes him speak fondly, like a frantic man, yet he is come.
Enter King Richard and his attendants below. Stand all apart and show fair duty to his majesty. He kneels down. My gracious lord.
Fair cousin, you debase your princely knee to make the base earth proud with kissing it. Me rather had my heart might feel your love than my unpleased eye see your courtesy. Up, cousin, up. Your heart is up, I know. Thus high at least, although your knee be low.
My gracious lord, I come but for mine own.
Your own is yours, and I am yours, and all.
So far be mine, my most redoubted lord, as my true service shall deserve your love.
Well, you deserve. they well deserve to have that know the strongest and surest way to get. Uncle, give me your hands. Nay, dry your eyes. Tears show their love, but want their remedies. Cousin, I am too young to be your father, though you are old enough to be my heir. What you will have, I'll give, and willing too, for do we must what force will have us do. Set on towards London, cousin, is it so?
Yea, my good lord.
Then I must not say no.
Flourish, exeunt. Scene 4. Langley, the Duke of York's garden. Enter the Queen and two ladies.
What sport shall we devise here in this garden to drive away the heavy thought of care?
Madam, we'll play at bowls.
'Twill make me think the world is full of rubs, and that my fortune runs against the buyers.
Madam, we'll dance.
My legs can keep no measure in delight, when my poor heart no measure keeps in grief. Therefore, no dancing, girl, some other sport.
Madam, we'll tell tales.
Of sorrow or of joy?
Of either, madam.
Of neither, girl, for if of joy, being altogether wanting, it doth remember me the more of sorrow, or if of grief, being altogether head, it adds more sorrow to my want of joy. For what I have, I need not to repeat, and what I want, it boots not to complain.
Madam, I'll sing.
'Tis well that thou hast cause, but thou shouldst please me better, wouldst thou weep.
I could weep, madam, would it do you good?
And I could sing, would weeping do me good, and never borrow any tear of thee.
Enter a gardener and two servants.
But stay, here come the gardeners. Let's step into the shadow of these trees. My wretchedness unto a row of pins, they'll talk of state, for every one does so against the change. Woe is forerun with woe.
Queen and ladies retire.
Go bind thou up yon dangling apricocks, which, like unruly children, make their sire stoop with oppression of their prodigal weight. Give some supportance to the bending twigs. Go thou, and like an executioner, cut off the heads of two fast-growing sprays that look too lofty in our commonwealth. All must be even in our government. You thus employed, I will go root away the noisome weeds which without profit suck the soil's fertility from wholesome flowers.
Why should we, in the compass of a pale, keep law and form and due proportion, showing, as in a model, our firm estate, when our sea-walled garden, the whole land, is full of weeds, her fairest flowers choked up, her fruit-trees all unpruned, her hedges ruined, her knots disordered, and her wholesome herbs swarming with caterpillars.
Hold thy peace. He that hath suffered this disordered spring hath now himself met with the fall of leaf. The weeds which his broad-spreading leaves did shelter, that seemed in eating him to hold him up, are plucked up root and all by Bolingbroke. I mean the Earl of Wiltshire, bushy, green.
What? Are they dead?
They are, and Bolingbroke hath seized the wasteful king, or what pity is it, that he had not so trimmed and dressed his land as we this garden? We, at time of year, do wound the bark, the skin of our fruit trees, lest, being overproud in sap and blood, with too much riches it confound itself. Had he done so to great and growing men, they might have lived to bear and he to taste their fruits of duty. Superfluous branches we lop away, that bearing boughs may live. Had he done so himself, had borne the crown, which wastes of idle hours hath quite thrown down.
What think you, then, the king shall be deposed?
Depressed he is already, and deposed, 'tis doubt he will be. Letters came last night to a dear friend of the good Duke of York's that tell black tidings.
Oh, I am pressed to death for want of speaking.
Coming forward.
Thou old Adam's likeness, set to dress this garden, how dares thy harsh, rude tongue sound this unpleasing news? What Eve, what serpent hath suggested thee to make a second fall of cursed man? Why dost thou say King Richard is deposed? Darest thou, thou little better thing than earth, divine his downfall? Say where, when, and how camest thou by this ill tidings? Speak, thou wretch!
Pardon me, madam. Little joy have I to breathe this news, and yet what I say is true. King Richard, he is in the mighty hold of Bolingbroke. Their fortunes both are weighed. In your lord's scale is nothing by himself, and some few vanities that make him light, but in the balance of great Bolingbroke, besides himself are all the English peers, and with that odds he weighs King Richard down. Post you to London, and you will find it so. I speak no more than every one doth know.
Nimble mischance that art so light of foot, doth not thy embassage belong to me? And am I last that knows it? Oh, thou thinkst to serve me last, that I may longest keep thy sorrow in my breast. Come, ladies, go, to meet at London, London's king in woe. What, was I born to this, that my sad look should grace the triumph of great Bolingbroke? Gardiner, for telling me these news of woe, pray God the plants thou grafts may never grow.
Exeunt Queen and Ladies.
Poor Queen, so that thy state might be no worse, I would my skill were subject to thy curse. Here did she fall a tear, here in this place. I'll set a bank of rue, sour herb of grace. Rue even for Ruth, here shortly shall be seen, in the remembrance of a weeping queen.
Exeunt. End of Act 3.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.